You may be seated. How many are glad to know today that God's promise will come, and it will come true no matter what the world says. No matter what the world says. Before I get started, Dale, we'd like to honor you, and I want to thank you as a brother in the Lord. Good job leading our school system over the past decade, and we thank you. And I want you to know we got several educators here. Kathy Goff, thank you for letting me come. Guess what? You know, I know this will be on the internet, and we'll probably have some government agency come check us out, but we're probably going to have that anyway for too long. We prayed over the schools. And I want you to know, I want you to hear something. We've been praying over the schools for a long time here. And the ACLU don't come to Kentucky a whole lot. They might get whipped. And sometimes there's some things that are right. And I want to talk about that today because I was going to preach on Joshua and get us to the promised land. But you know what? And start that entry. But before you get to the promised land, there's something you got to decide. Do you believe the promise? And so there's a real parallel here today for you to understand. The first thing I want you to know, and I'm going to say it again, you and I cannot save ourselves. I don't care how many books you read, how many songs you see, salvation comes from an act of God, a promise of God. He sent Jesus, and Jesus saves. Mankind can't save itself. Now, there's the promise that you and I have. When I stand before God, when you stand before God, we're going to stand with the promise of God. That's all that we have is the mercy of God. What did you, now the question is, what will you do with God's promise? Now, the mercy of God depends on Him. Now there comes a moment when God asks His people to live out the promise. That's when it gets difficult, isn't it? You see, God saved you. Now are you going to be what God's made you? That's where the tension comes, doesn't it? I have found that it was easier to get married than it is to stay married. How many of you all found that to be true? The celebrate, watch this. I tell young couples this all the time. They come in and you got brides, you know, they're all worked up about an hour ceremony. That's the easiest thing you'll do in marriage. Honeymoon, wonderful week. Enjoy it. You'll never have it again. Embrace it. And then there's the reality of the daily grind, doing life, putting life together. The promise has to be what? Lived out. The promise has to be fulfilled. Now look what happened. We came to a moment of promise. Moses sent the spies into the land. The spies came back and they gave a bad report. I want you to know something. This is still in motion today. Be careful when you grumble against what God has said. Now, you can grumble against what I say. That's up for debate. But don't grumble against what? What God has said. You speak against Jesus as the only way into heaven, you will pay a hellish penalty for that philosophy. Now, in our moment of time, this is what's up for debate. Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. If you're going to wear the marks of the cross and the resurrection, you cannot blend any other religious system. How many of you all have seen that in Moses? What did they always get in trouble for? It's a constant trouble of trying to add on to God. To add on to God. God doesn't need an add-on. God is enough. How many of you all believe that? His promise is what? Enough. And then what do we want to do? We want to add to it. Well, what about this and what about this and what about this? No, you're going to be what God said you can be. Now, we come to this moment. Go with me to the 14th chapter. Remember, they had this philosophy. They said, we seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we appeared the same to them. The task was too big for them. Well, you know, I'm going to be quite honest. When I look at 85,000 plus unchurched people in Warren County, I'm not talking about Africa. I'm not talking about some third world country. I'm talking about where you and I breathe every day. 85,000 unchurched people. You know what? That task is too big for one church. That task is too big for one individual. But that task is not impossible for God. See, I want you to hear that God's promise works the impossible. God's promise works the impossible. And we got to start living up to that. We got to start, wait a minute. I am a person of promise. Not because I'm better than anybody else, but because God has given me a promise. That no matter where I end up, God is going to be in that location. Now, you got two choices in the 14th chapter. You can wander in the desert and die, or you can enter into the promised land. Now, I got some bad news. The crowd wanders in the desert and dies. Now, I know that y'all are all hepped on majorities and being in a democracy. I'm just going to tell you some things God has said about a crowd. The pathway to hell is wide. Crowd. The way into righteousness, how does it describe it in the Gospel of Matthew? A narrow what? Path. You know why? Only possible by Jesus. Now hold on, how many of y'all are glad to know you're on the narrow path? Some of you say, well, preacher, I'm on there, but I slip off every once in a while. How many of y'all I've sprained my ankle before on the narrow path, hadn't you? Kind of leading over to the wide path. I've caught myself in the ditch more than once. How many of y'all been in the ditch more than once? Now, I tell you what, I'm blessed because I'm in the ditch of the narrow path. It's still nasty, but at least I'm where God can pull me back out. Now, just be careful because let me show you what they did. They grumbled. I got a lot of leaders in here, and I want you all to grab some comfort, okay? Because when you're a leader, Dale, did you ever have anybody grumble over 10 years? Or did you just take on leadership? I remember, Dale, it seems like 10 years ago was yesterday. I remember calling Dale and said, Dale, I'm not getting in your business. I'm just praying for you. I said, and I remember saying this, I really believe God has an appointment there for you. This isn't about, it's God has an appointment. And Lord have mercy, his first year, it was a baptism in fire. Buses ran off the road. Everything else happened. Just because God puts you there, I want you to notice this, doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Many of us are led astray in this room because we've been convinced if it's easy, that's where God is. And if you really read the Bible, most of the time, God is where it is difficult, not where it is easy. Because you see, where it is difficult is the place that you have to depend on God. We seem like grasshoppers because the city is bigger than we are. But guess what? The city was not as fortified, fainter, as God is. They forgot that, didn't they? Now here's what happens. When we forget God's promise, we tend to grumble a lot. How many of y'all grumble when you forget God's promise? How many of y'all occasionally have just forgotten you're saved? You get so caught up in the immediate, you just forget you're saved. You say, wait a minute, I'm going to die and go to heaven. No, wait a minute, I got the power of the Holy Spirit. No, hold on, wait a minute. God has a distinct purpose for my life. How many of y'all forget that sometimes? What I'm doing is important. Because God put me in that motion. God put me in that way. Jim, you got to have that when you lose your wife, don't you? You got to say, wait a minute, God, this is crazy, but you're still here. See, I want y'all to know this is real events. The doctor says you got cancer. That's good. That's a devastating diagnosis, but God's still what? There. Isn't he crazy? And you still live, can't you? You're living beyond cancer, aren't you? Because who's your God? Jesus. See, I'll give you some reality in this text. Well, guess what? They continued to grumble because they forgot about God. But God hadn't forgotten about them. But they had forgotten what God could do. Now, as we were preparing for this sermon series, you know, we looked and we said, man, how could these people forget about the promise of God? He's gotten them across the Red Sea. They've gotten manna every day. They've gotten quail. They've seen the miracles of God. But then you know what? We look and say, wait a minute. Jesus Christ has saved us from every one of our stinking sins. And you and I end up grumbling and forgetting the promise of God. How many times we do that? And God is patient with us. Now be careful. Here's what they did. Verse 14, chapter 1. That night, all the people of the community raised their voices. Sound familiar? Y'all thought we was into something new. All the people in the community, they raised their voices and they Wept aloud. They cried. They whined. They protested. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron and the whole assembly and said to them, check this out, if we had only died in Egypt. How many times? Every time they get something they don't like, what do they always say? Remember, they were about 30 days outside of Egypt's delivery. And what did they say? Oh, we don't have any food. If we had only died, then what? How many of y'all hear people like that today? Oh, God would just take my life. It's unworthy. I don't even know why I'm here. I know why you're here, because you're a whiner and God doesn't want you in heaven yet. He doesn't want to hear it. He's waiting for you to learn to quit whining and start believing, and then he'll bring you on into heaven. Amen? I mean, it's just crazy. Look at here. Now, who do they attack? I want you to know, nothing's changed. Who do they attack? Moses! It's Moses' fault! Let me ask you a question. Can Moses split the Red Sea? Can Moses give them manna? Can Moses give them quail? Can Moses stand up against Pharaoh and make him listen? Moses is not who? How many of y'all have noticed? None of your pastors are God. I hear some of y'all every once in a while, oh, brother so-and-so. I never will forget Elizabeth. She was doing something for a women's meeting. I try to stay out of women's meeting. God gets too real there. It scares me. And she was at a women's meeting. This lady came up to her and she goes, oh, what is it like to live with Pastor Steve? Now, she had some opportunity right there. She could have said, it's the most wonderful spiritual journey I could ever imagine. Here was her response. Nothing like you think it is. That was it. We're not who? But we're followers of God. Now they grumbled against the community. Now, let me show you where that sent you. First thing I want to tell you today, don't grumble against God's promise when it gets tough. Okay? Now watch. We are going to have to be a witness in American culture to the things of God, even if the culture doesn't accept or embrace that. We're kind of in the same situation at this moment of time. The Canaanites weren't jumping up and down that here come these monotheistic, that means they serve one God, these monotheistic Israelites who believe God's got them on a destiny. The Canaanites weren't excited about them coming to their neighborhood. But God had made a promise, and I know some of you are bothered because guess what? God made a promise, and he made it to those people, and guess what? You say, well, some of them, they might kill Canaanites. Yeah, they will. This is a side of God that people have a hard time dealing with. When God puts it in motion, he will get human beings out of the way to establish his motion. You say, well, how can that be? Never forget, you follow a God who killed his boy. That'll get it quiet in here. You follow a God that loved you so much, he took his son's life for you and I to live in his promise. And you say, well, why is God like that? Because here's what I want you to know. Here's what you got to get from the biblical text. Here's the wonderful news. This is not all there is. This world is not all there is. How many of y'all believe that? Amen. How many of y'all thank God for that? I mean, I got to really be honest with you. I would be walking around with Prozac intravenously hooked up to me if this is all there was. The longer I live, it's kind of the more I learn about God, guess what? This world is not as exciting as it used to be. I was pretty worldly at one time, you know. It's just stuff. And you know what? Things change as you age, don't they? The things that are important. Isn't it cool? Like when you get old, when you get up, it's a good day. See, you never were excited about that when you were 16. When you get up, you open your eyes and you go, hey, we got one more. What are we going to do with it? Life becomes exciting because you know what? I want you to know this is not all there is. And the promise of God is moving through. Now, look what happens here. First of all, they rebelled. Look at verse 5. Then Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole Israelite assembly gathered there. They fell face down. Now, if you're in leadership, let me tell you what. If you're not falling face down, you'll fall away. There are moments you got to say, dear God, these are your people. You made them. You've used me to lead them for a minute, but they are out of control. They are yours. They're yours. They're your promise. Look what happened. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephun, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly. Listen to what they said. The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, He will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the what? Lord. Now let me give you some heads up. Please do not rebel against the Lord in this moment of time. I want you, is everybody listening? We're in a serious time. I want you to know some things. Contrary to the news, Islam and Christianity have nothing in common. And if you had read your Bibles, I'm going to fuss just a little bit, and been to Bible study and really read your Bibles, you will know that the people from the slave child and the people from the promised child are two distinct people. And Oprah can pile them up in Yankee Stadium, and we can hold hands and sing the Michael Jackson song, was that world? We are the world. And guess what we're still going to have? The people of the slave and the people of the promise. Now you say, Pastor Ayers, can someone who's in Islam not be converted to Jesus Christ? I absolutely believe it. Someone who's in Islam can be converted to Jesus Christ. But you've got to have the promise of who? Jesus Christ. There's not a plan B. And I know that ruffles some of y'all's feathers. You go, well, what about all these good people? They're going to good hell. It'll be the polite part of hell. Because there's not a person that hadn't broke the Ten Commandments. That's why Jesus kept asking this question. Why do you call me good? You remember he'd say that to people. They'd say, well, you're a good teacher. Because why do you call me good? Because they really didn't know why he's good. The reason Jesus was good is because he never broke the law. Something that you and I have never done. Jesus never broke the law. He always honored God. He always worshiped God. He never rebelled against who? God. Isn't Jesus, Eric, even in a moment like this in the garden, kind of an assembly moment, that he's in the garden, there's the promise of salvation, but it's got to come through him. And he's sweating blood and tears. And he has a choice. I can rebel against God's plan, or I can step into the cross and activate an eternal promise. Now watch this. So what are you and I in this assembly? We are proclaimers of the promise. And we ought to invite everybody to the promise. We ought to invite everybody to the promise. What's our job? Invitations. Invitations. We ought to be like Clacy at a birthday party. Clacy has a birthday in May. She's had that now for 16 years. And we've never had one day of a birthday for Clacy. It's the whole month. It takes the whole month. In fact, I dread the day that she's getting married. That'll probably be a year process of just the celebration part. And there's planning and there's invitations. And I'll watch her get on the phone and text and email and all these forms of communication. And you know what she's doing? She's sending out an invitation to the celebration. She was born. She believes that's important. More than I do. She's a believer in it. And she has converted her mother to be a believer in it. This is what we ought to do with Jesus Christ.
We're the assembly that doesn't rebel against God. We're the people of the promise. And you and I are inviting every living soul to be a part of the what? Promise.
Now, so I wanted to conclude the day with this. Before we go in, you got to understand, Caleb and Joshua make a difference because they refuse to rebel against God. And I want you to know that if you will not rebel against God, you will automatically make a difference. So watch this. God's not asking you to be a hero. He's just asking you to be faithful. God's not looking for celebrity Christianity. Okay, if you never write a book, you're okay. If you never get your picture on some little, you know, Christian-y religious brochure that says you're leading a prayer group, you're great. I'm talking about being faithful to the promise when everybody else wants to rebel. Look, I'm just telling you, the message is not popular. I have a lot of people that don't like me because I carry the promise of Jesus Christ and I won't go to universalism. I won't say that everything's the same. Because it's not. It's not. So here's what I found. This is just something I found in life. When you lie, you never receive the promise. And what are they following right here? A lie. The report from the people is a what? How many of y'all been lied to lately? I'm going to keep giving you one because I want you to be aware of this. It's the truth. You spend more than you make, you're headed for trouble. It's just a matter of time. It's a matter of time. Why? Because it's a principle. It's a biblical principle. What did Jesus do? He spent all he had, his life, so that you and I have a promise. And let me show you the difference. God turns against the people, and guess what God says? He comes back with this moment. Go over here with me to, let me get to this verse. Verse 27. How long will this wicked community grumble against me? I've heard the complaints of these grumbling Israelites. Any of y'all in leadership ever got to that moment? Oh, just pastor a while. You know how frustrating it is to see people come to the Lord and have a service where people's lives are radically changed. And somebody comes up to you and they're worried about that the floor had a scratch on it. I just want you to know it takes all the salvation the Lord has given me not to react in a very human way. Because you know what I want to tell those human beings? Don't you get it? This floor will burn. They won't. Don't you understand, church? This is just the house of promise. You are the people of the promise. That's God's initiative. Does that make sense? You know what we're building right now? We're building a place where the promise can be, if you will, instead of having a promised land, we're a little bit, you know, we didn't get as much as Israel. We have promise building. And so the promise building is to get the promise of Jesus in a generation so we have the promise that continues. Does that make sense? It's really just a place of promise. Every nickel we put into that place is a nickel given to the promise of God. Children will meet Jesus in there. Young people will advance in Jesus in there. And who knows? Joshua and Caleb. Or Carol and Jan. God uses women too. Amen? Hey, if y'all don't think God uses women, go have a discussion with Sister Debbie. She was a judge over Israel. And her politics were pretty shrewd. They acted up against her and she put a tent peg through the guy's head. That pretty well takes care of your opposition. Don't ever mess with a woman of God. They will kill you. That's the sermon out of that. Be careful. Sister Debbie, a judge over Israel. Authority over Israel. Why? Some men had revolted and rebelled against who? God. Don't rebel. God said, I am tired of hearing their complaining. And he goes on and on and on. And look what happens.
Moses begins to speak up. And he said, Lord, but your promise, Lord. Well, I want to show you what happens. Go with me to verse 39. We've got to get to this moment. When Moses reported this to all of Israel, they mourned bitterly. Early the next morning, they went up to the high hill country. We have sinned, they said. We will go up to the place the Lord has promised. Now, here's what happened. Moses called them into repentance. Here's what happens to them. Okay? God separates the generations. Probably going to go on here. Those 20 and under, they're going to get to follow Joshua and Caleb into the promised land. Those 20 and over are going to wander in the desert and what? Die. They never, guess who never, leaders, guess who never makes it into the promised land? Moses. My theory is, you know why? He leaned his ear too far into what the people were saying. In spiritual leadership, we do not follow the polls. We follow what is true. And when what is true is established, now check this out. It may never manifest in your lifetime. It may never manifest in your lifetime. But it will manifest. And God calls some of us to put things in motion that we'll never see. Watch this. I love this church, but guess what I know? I will never see this church at its full impact. Because I'm the starter. I'm laying the foundation. There are going to be leaders that come behind me that this thing's going to be doing things that I could have never dreamed of. But my job was to start it. There's some other jobs that are to build it. And guess what? God's going to finish it. But I want you to be a person of promise. I want you Sunday school teachers, you Bible study teachers, I want you to know that a seed of truth that goes into one of your students, you have no idea what that's going to do over the generations. Your job is just to speak that truth. You can't handle the results. We're just to speak that truth. We're to give the invitation to the promise. But I do want you to get a Caleb and Joshua attitude at Hillview. We got this attitude. If God said it, it can be done. How many of y'all believe it? Watch, I'm going to give you a challenge before us right now. Y'all think I've forgotten this. It's fall. Summer's over, even though it doesn't feel like it. How many of y'all still think that building could be paid off before December? Okay, four of you. That's good. Moses only had two. No, see, here's what you don't understand. People that really believe will knock out a majority that kind of believes. You need to write that down. People that really believe will knock out a majority that kind of believes. Here's what I know about crowds. They only believe which way the wind is blowing at the moment. If you don't believe me, ask Jesus. The same people that were going, Hosanna, Hosanna. 4 days later, we're going, crucify him. So if you ever want to get popular, just remember that. If you ever want to live for the crowd, just remember that. I promise you, the crowd will never cry at your funeral.
And don't think it's just high school students who are trying to be popular.
This is dynamic of humanity. The promise of God will. You know what Caleb and Joshua were convinced of? God was for real, Tony. These guys are nuts. They were a part of the spies. And here's what happened. They sent 40 spies. They sent these spies in for 40 days. They got to wander in the desert for 40 years for every day that they were in the promised land.
So I want to bring to a conclusion. Before we go in, we got to take Jericho, okay? We're going to end this sermon series when we get to Jericho. It would have been real quick to go into the promised land. They could have gone, but they decided to grumble against God. Now, Hillview, I got to ask us a question. Are we truly doing what God wants us to do? Okay, just a quick check. How many of y'all invited someone to follow Jesus this week? You don't have to raise your hand. Just check. How many of y'all are making sure somewhere during the week you're getting some Bible study in you so you know what's going on? How many of you are listening to what everybody's saying? Are you praying, God, what do we need to be in this moment of time? See what I'm saying? What do we need to be in this moment of time? I'm asking God that question. God, time, you know, to me, I'm kind of like the writer in Ecclesiastes, Solomon. I don't see anything new. I don't see anything. I've never seen anything new. It's just repackaged old stuff. Y'all see anything new going on in the world today? I don't. I've seen it before. It's the same rhetoric. It's the same stuff. It's the same philosophy. We're going to save ourselves. I've read history over and over again, and guess what history says? No, you're not. You don't believe me? Go talk to Rome. Oh, it's not a powerhouse anymore. Or, where are the Greeks? Where are the French? Where's Britain? The empire that the sun never sets on. When I first went to school, they talked about the British Empire, a place the sun never sets on. And now the lights are out. Nobody would dare make this observation about Britain, though. Its churches are empty. So are America's. Where we used to ask, God, what do we need to do and what do we need to be? Which is going to blow you away. You know why people used to be a doctor? Because they wanted to heal people. You know why people used to be a preacher? Because they wanted to see people saved. You know why people wanted to be a teacher? Because they wanted people that didn't know anything to learn something. You know why people built cars? Because they loved cars. We used to have a lot more Calebs and Joshuas than we do today. In fact, I've even interviewed people for our staff, and guess what the first question was they asked me? No. How much vacation you get here? Of course, you've never seen them on our staff, because if that's your first question, you've told me you're sure not qualified to work here. So I don't want, because guess what they're telling me? I want to know what you're giving me. And I don't want to work with people like that. I want to work with people that say, this is what I'm going to give God. And you put that together and you go somewhere. It's a Caleb Joshua type attitude. Now let me show you what they do and we're getting out of here. You ready? Verse 41. I know I'm skipping around, but we had to get this. Now here's what happens. I want you to know. A group of them go up and try to take the land by themselves. Verse 41. Moses warns them. Why are you disobeying the Lord's command? This will not concede. Do not go up because the Lord is not with you. You will be defeated by your enemies, for the Amalekites and the Canaanites will face you there. Because you've turned away from the Lord, He will not be with you and you will fall by the sword. See if this isn't familiar. Nevertheless, in their presumption, how many of y'all have ever had a presumption? You young people, let me help you. Presumptions will kill you. If you're going to move on God, you better move on truth, not a presumption. Or a premonition. I don't think it'll work. I know it's where God wants me to be. Look at here. Look at here. Nevertheless, in their presumption, they went up toward the high hill country, though neither Moses nor the ark of the Lord's covenant moved from the camp. Then the Amalekites and the Canaanites who lived in that hill country came down and attacked them and beat them down all the way to Hoi. Ha! Why did that happen? They're not supposed to be there. But guess who will go there? God will go with Joshua and He will go with Caleb. And He will establish that promised land. It's just interesting in modern days time. You tell me. One of the most intriguing places I go in the world is Israel. It just fries me. How do they stay there? 6.5 million people surrounded by 600 million people that hate them. and with the help of God and American tax money and weaponry and pilots that can fly planes better than anybody in the world, they stay there. What God says will be. Did you get that this morning? Anybody get that this morning? Now, there's some tough stuff. Listen, this is tough stuff. But here's what I want you to know. If you're going to follow God, it's tough. All right, now listen, you might want to go to another church. There's plenty of my colleagues. They'll tell you, follow Jesus, everything will be happy, it's glorious, no problem. Believe what you want to believe, do what you want to do, and everything will be all right. That message is out there. I believe that message to be false, and I believe it to be unbiblical. They don't have any text other than it makes you feel good. I have discovered this. There are a lot of things in this world that make you feel good that will kill you. How many of you all have discovered that so far? A lot of things, they feel good for the moment, but they will kill you. I'm sure an affair probably feels a little thrilling there for the moment, but it'll take half your income automatically. There's consequence. Now, how many of y'all are a little bothered that the people of Moses, because they rebelled against God, received a consequence? There are consequences to choices. Has that been clear today? And so for the next three Sundays, here's what we're going to do. We're going to see the consequence of Joshua and Caleb standing up and believing what God has said. And so here's your challenge. I want us to believe what God has said. How many of y'all believe people can be saved by Jesus Christ? Okay, listen, we got to go tell folks. Bing, 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 bing. I am ringing the bell. Church in America, as usual, will not cut it any longer. Just coming on Sunday morning, getting a couple of hymns in, or getting some praise and worship songs in, having a prayer on the side and a little Sunday afternoon, you know, devotional, won't cut it. We're now going to have to step in and actually do what God said. We're going to have to invite people to the promise of Jesus Christ so people like Dylan can be baptized. Yeah! They're right. They also, people like you on Christmas Eve can say what? I'm ready. Let's go to the baptistry. And your whole world changed. How many of your whole world's changed? Mr. Jackson, we want to keep the Spirit of God. So on Sunday morning, if you're driving to church and your heart kind of has a little, you can go on to the mercy room and God will heal you back and you'll be back in 2 weeks. Amen. That's the kind of God we got in it, Mr. Jackson. Amen. We got the kind of God that says, I will be with you to your last breath. Now, is that God worth worshiping? Is he worth serving? Is he worth following? Is he worth allowing our lives to be lived to him? I say yes. You want to be radically changed? Follow Jesus. It'll radically change you. You'll love what you used to hate. And you'll hate what you used to love. That's called conversion. Amen? Amen? All right, well, let's stand together. Y'all been good. Did you learn anything today? Tough stuff. Please do not depart from Jesus. Please do not depart from Jesus. Do not depart from who? Even when it's not cool, it's not popular, it's not vogue, it's not classic. You know, when I go to the East Coast, I'm a hayseed from Kentucky. Before y'all get too cocky, so are you. But you know what? Who said they were impressive? I went to a school in New Jersey where I think they had wool-rich bathing suits on during the summer. You know, that's their culture, that's our culture. We all fall under God's culture. There's a promise. It's heaven today. Today, if you would like to be with Jesus in heaven, here's what he says you must do. You must realize you're a sinner. Here's how you come to realize you're a sinner. If you'll go read the Ten Commandments, if you look right at the Ten Commandments, thou shalt have no other gods. Thou shalt honor the Sabbath. Thou shalt honor thy father and mother. If you can look at those Ten Commandments and honestly say to yourself, I've never broken them, then either two things are in motion. You're a liar or you're Jesus. The truth is we've all broken somewhere God's covenant, and Jesus Christ came to heal us and pull us back into covenant. That's why we need to be saved. We need to be saved because we're a sinner. We don't need to be saved because we got a hole in our heart and we're missing warm fuzzies from heaven. That's not why we need to be saved. We need to be saved because we are disconnected from God. And if you're disconnected from God, what is the consequence of that? Now, how many of y'all glad to know? I got to leave with this good news. How many of y'all glad to know that God desires us not to be in hell? Is anybody excited about that? I'm so glad. Now you say,
some of you are going, well, Pastor, do you think God sends people to hell?
No. Now here's what I think. I think people rebel against God's promise. I just preached about it this morning. I even got some good news. You know how merciful God is? He didn't leave the people in the desert. God was there when they died in the desert. They just didn't receive everything. And guess what? Some of y'all living your salvation like that. You live in desert salvation. You could be living promised salvation. My deal is this. Why eat quail and manna when you can have a land that flows with milk and honey? I've always been that way. Why drive, Volkswagen when you can drive a Mercedes? No, not really. Both of those are good gas mileage cars, though. Drive everything God wants you to be. That's what I'm saying. Come and let Jesus come into your life. Repent of your sins. Feel Him calling you to salvation today and receive that. Let's pray, church, that we'll be everything we're supposed to be. And I need some of you prayer warriors to pray this in. We need to get the attitude of Joshua and Caleb. If God says it, we're going to do it. And even when it gets tough, we're not going to step away from it, okay? So if you can come and pray that right now, and we'll close this service and head to Bible study. Thank you all for being wonderful today, as usual.